KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's clear and 27 degrees here in Atlantic. We look forward to be sunny today with a high around 50. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Lenox Police Department said yesterday no one was injured when a Sharpsburg man struggled with authorities as they were executing a search warrant. Police Chief John Huggins says at around 8:30 a.m. Thursday, Lenox Police, along with deputies with the Adams, Taylor, and Ringgold County Sheriff's Offices, the Tri-County Drug Task Force, and the State Patrol, served a search warrant at 707 West Nebraska Street. The warrant was the result of a drug investigation and an attempt to locate a convicted sex offender believed living at that address who was in violation of registration requirements. As officers entered the residence, a man identified as 31-year-old Eric Allen Clayton of Sharpsburg fought with the officer and allegedly attempted to take the officer's service weapon. During the struggle, the weapon discharged, sending one round into the wall. After a taser was deployed, Clayton was taken into custody on felony charges of interference with official acts, assault on a police officer, and disarming a police officer. He was transported to the Taylor County Jail and was being held there this morning on $20,000 bond. News time is 8:01.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Harlan Police Department said yesterday that a Chicago, Illinois man was arrested Sunday for trying to elude police after they observed him speeding. 39-year-old Nathaniel Coles was taken into custody and transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated, felony eluding, three counts of failure to obey a stop sign, speeding, and reckless driving. On Saturday, 31-year-old Randy Stoles of Erling was cited for fifth-degree theft when the Casey's store personnel in Harlan notified police that Stoles had allegedly taken items he didn't pay for from the store. Stoles was cited and released. The Harlan Police Department also report that on Monday, March the 6th, St. Michael's Catholic Church told police their church van was missing. The van was recovered the following day by the Omaha Police Department, and that incident remains under investigation. Police in Lenox say one person was taken into custody early Wednesday morning on drug charges. Chief John Huggins says at around 1 a.m. officers were checking a residence on West Nebraska Street for an individual who was wanted on an arrest warrant. While at the residence, a recovery of a small amount of marijuana was performed. And Huggins said that while 18-year-old Anastasia Imsland of Lenox faces a possession of drug paraphernalia charge, she was subsequently released on a citation to appear in court. A Red Oak man charged in connection with a September 5, 2011 go-kart accident that critically injured his 2-year-old son was sentenced late last month to serve 1 year in jail with all but 90 days of the term suspended. According to online court records, on February 27, 35-year-old Sean Michael Soar entered a written plea of guilty to child endangerment, causing bodily injury, and first offense OWI charges. The charges were reduced from felony offenses when the mother of Ryan Soar agreed to a plea deal. Judge James Heckerman placed Sean Soar on a work release probation and ordered him to treatment for 1 year at Zion Recovery Services. He must also pay fines and related court costs amounting to $2,000 plus attorney's fees. The incident which led to Soar's arrest took place around 9:15 p.m. on September the 5th last year when the go-kart he and his son were riding hit a parked pickup truck in the 700 block of East Grimes Street in Red Oak. Lab results indicated Soar's alcohol level was nearly twice the legal limit allowed for driving in Iowa. Sean Soar suffered minor injuries in the crash, but his son Ryan was flown by helicopter to a trauma center in Omaha. He was later released, but the child, who has since turned 3, is still being treated for his injuries on an outpatient basis. Atlantic City Administrator Doug Harris on Wednesday urged the city council and public to visit an Iowa Department of Transportation website designed to receive input on the desire and feasibility of a Chicago to Omaha rail passenger route. The Federal Railroad Administration, in cooperation with the Iowa DOT, will analyze improvements to the regional intercity passenger rail service from Union Station in Chicago through Iowa to a terminal in Omaha. The study will include a Tier 1 service-level environmental impact statement for the corridor. The potential improvements will help to complete the Midwest Regional Rail Initiative's vision for developing an improved and expanding passenger rail system in the Midwest. The study will be a major step in assessing the viability of a high-speed regional passenger rail system in the highly populated corridor. Doug Harris said there are five routes being studied.
Route number one is the Canadian National Railway that goes through Dubuque and Fort Dodge. That's kind of the northern tier. Route two is Union Pacific Railroad that goes through Cedar Rapids and Ames. Route three is the Canadian Pacific and the BNSF, which is Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad, and that goes through Cedar Rapids and Savannah. Route 4 is the Iowa Interstate Railroad that goes through Iowa City, Des Moines, and Atlantic. Route 5 is the Chicago Burlington Quincy Railroad that goes through Burlington and Osceola.
Harris said some forecasts by the DOT indicate 246,800 passengers could travel the route each year. The trains would travel at speeds ranging from about 80 to 110 miles per hour, except, of course, through towns along that route. He says by going to the Iowa DOT's website, you can find out more about the study and leave your comments and suggestions. That website is www.iowadot.gov/Chicago to Omaha, and there is a link to that on our webpage under this same story.
You know, the question that I have in the back of my mind, of course, if this even is feasible, they got to do a financial study. There's several screening criteria. They're going to look at the physical route characteristics, the infrastructure requirements for the speeds, as I talked about, schedule and reliability, safety, potential ridership, revenue forecasts, capital and operating costs, and environmental impacts. And this study will take 18 months. There will be some public meetings, but right now the chance to give input is on their website, so we should take advantage of that.
The study began this past winter by analyzing the project scope. Potential routes will be analyzed this spring. Over the summer, an environmental impact study will be conducted, which includes public and agency input and an environmental analysis. And this fall, the draft of the Tier 1 schedule will be created with the environmental impact statement ready for final public input and agency review by the spring of 2013. Representative Jack Drake, a Republican from Griswold this week, filed nomination petitions with the Secretary of State's office to seek re-election to the Iowa House in the newly formed District 21. After redistricting, District 21 is comprised of portions of Cass County, including Atlantic and Griswold, portions of Pottawatomie County, including Walnut, and all of Adams and Union counties. Drake attended a country school in rural Pottawatomie County and graduated from the Atlantic High School. He attended the University of Iowa, returned home to farm, and he and his wife, Shirley, have four children and 11 grandchildren. Drake is currently the chair of the House Agriculture and Natural Resources Budget Subcommittee. He also serves on the Agriculture, Appropriations, and State Government Committees. Drake says that he will continue his focus on job creation, limited government spending, and strengthening Iowa's agriculture. And officials with MidAmerican Energy on Thursday announced they're distributing a total of $239,000 in grants to 97 cities and community organizations in Iowa in support of the utility's Trees Please program. The funds are distributed each year to promote energy efficiency and environmental beautification through the planting of trees. Each of the 97 communities has been awarded at least $1,000, and among them is Avoca, Bedford, Carson, Defiance, Earlham, Glenwood, Hancock, Kimbleton, Red Oak, and Shelby. The City of Council Bluffs received a $20,000 grant from the program. The grants are based entirely on the individual merits of the project, benefit to the community, and ability to obtain matching funds. Each of the 97 communities were notified in December that they will be receiving a grant, and the checks are in the process of being delivered. Taking a look at national news headlines at this hour, the nation's unemployment rate is unchanged at 8.3%, even though employers added 227,000 jobs last month. The rate held at 8.3%, largely because more people streamed into the workforce. Hiring in December and January turns out to be better than first thought. The economy has now generated an average of 245,000 jobs a month in the past 3 months. The U.S. military will be transferring its main detention center in Afghanistan to the Kabul government in 6 months. Today's agreement extends a deadline set by Afghan President Hamid Karzai for the transfer of some 3,000 detainees at the U.S.-run prison near the Bagram military base. And authorities say a Philadelphia woman faked having cancer to avoid reporting to prison. Leanne Mook was sentenced to 4 months behind bars in 2007 for stealing money from the bank accounts of elderly people. Authorities say she spent 3 years writing fake doctor's notes about her dire prognosis, but during the time had a baby and underwent cosmetic surgery. And now Mook has been sentenced to almost 5 years in jail for stealing $56,000 from her father. News time is 8:10.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Emma Ann Larson, age 96, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Audubon County Hospital. Funeral services for Emma Larson will be this morning at 10:30 at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Stacy Lynn Grimes Taylor, age 40, of Winterset and formerly of Earlham, died Saturday at Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Stacy Taylor will be today at 10:30 at the Earlham Church of Christ. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stuart has arrangements. Dolores Stanley, age 81, of Greenfield, died Saturday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Dolores Stanley will be today at 11 a.m. at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Helen Bandow, age 77, of Manila, died Monday at her home. Funeral services for Helen Bandow will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manila. Odie Funeral Home in Manila has arrangements. Ruth Dwyer, age 84, of Bridgewater, died Tuesday at Iowa Methodist in Des Moines. Celebration of Life services for Ruth Dwyer will be today at 2:30 at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Fontenelle. Steen Funeral Home of Fontenelle has arrangements. Mervyn W. Christensen, age 79, of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Mervyn Christensen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Orville Clayton Young, age 88, of Hancock, died Tuesday at Avoca Nursing and Rehab. Funeral services for Orville Young will be Saturday at 10:30 at the United Lutheran Church in Shelby. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Milton Sinow, age 81, of Aspenwall, died Tuesday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Services for Milton Sinow will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Odie Funeral Home in Manning. Pauline Eunice Hogsett, age 91, of Oakland, died Tuesday at the Oakland Manor. Funeral services for Pauline Hogsett will be Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Oakland United Methodist Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Mabel Richter, age 96, of Anita and formerly of Adair, died Thursday at the Colonial Manor in Anita. Funeral services for Mabel Richter will be Saturday at 1 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Adair, with Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair in charge of arrangements. Marjorie Keister, age 85, of Panora and formerly of Guthrie Center, died Tuesday in Panora. Funeral services for Marjorie Keister will be on Monday at 10 o'clock at the First Christian Church in Guthrie Center, with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Helen Bull, age 85, of Coon Rapids, died Wednesday at the Manning Regional Health Care Center. Funeral services for Helen Bull will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Ascension Lutheran Church in Coon Rapids, with Odie Funeral Home of Coon Rapids in charge of arrangements. Adele Leist, age 88, of Atlantic, died Wednesday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Adele Leist will be on Monday at 1:30 at St. Paul's Lutheran Church here in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Ronald Stitt, age 76, of Panora and formerly of Des Moines, died Wednesday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Graveside services for Ronald Stitt will be Monday at 2 o'clock at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in rural Van Meter. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Betty Sanny, age 93, of Lewis, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Betty Sanny will be held Tuesday at 10 o'clock at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Mary Ann Hopkins, age 73, of Panora, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Mary Ann Hopkins will be this coming Tuesday at 10:30 at the First Baptist Church in Guthrie Center, with the Twig Funeral Home of Guthrie Center in charge of arrangements. Rabina Nora Elmquist, age 91, of Exira, died Thursday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Celebration of life services for Rabina Elmquist will be held at a later date. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has arrangements. Doris Fett, age 85, of Panora and formerly of Adair, died Wednesday at the Panora Nursing and Rehab Center. Her brother, Merle Fett, age 80, of Adair, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Doris and Merle Fett are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Adair. Violet Norwood, age 73, of Erling, died Wednesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Services for Violet Norwood are pending at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. And Virginia Parsons Almond, of South El Monte, California, and formerly of Lewis, died Wednesday at her home. Services for Virginia Almond are pending at this time. Our news brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Henson reporting.